Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you're looking for insight, you're looking for guys who know more than you do, and it's not hard for us to find. But when you see a guy's bio, when it says where he works, this... staff writer for The Athletic, covering the NFL, and co-host on The Athletic Football Show with our buddy Robert Mays. He is an NFL and NFL draft film analyst with a particular interest in quarterbacks. Ding, ding, ding. Derek Clausen rings the bell for us, and Derek joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Derek, good to have you back with us. How are you?
How are you, Derek?
I'm doing good this morning. How are you guys doing?
We need a quarterback, Derek. That's how we're doing.
You're doing so good, right?
Exactly right. Without one, you don't do that well. Before we get into any specifics, are you comfortable with the thought, or is it thought that's erroneous, that there are two quarterbacks in this draft who could end up being top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and that a team drafting at number two should definitely take, or should they be looking in other directions?
I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but to me, there's only really one quarterback that I think has like a top 10 ceiling in this league, and to me, it's Cam Ward. And all indications at this point seem like, you know, Tennessee has kind of tipped their hand that they're probably going to end up taking him. So both the Browns and Giants are going to be kind of left picking, you know, at Shedeur Sanders or whoever the other guys are. And I don't dislike Shedeur Sanders as a prospect. I just think that, you know, in years past, maybe 8 years ago, this is the range that a Derek Carr would go in, or an Andy Dalton, or a Colin Kaepernick, like players of that ilk, where it's like they can be solid starting quarterbacks for you, but I just don't know if they have like the super high-end potential that you typically see in the top five.
So what is it about Shador's game that doesn't make you think that he could be in the top five in a draft with a little bit more with a little higher caliber quarterback?
To me, it's kind of reductive, but he's just not nearly as talented as a lot of the other guys you see in this range. You know, I think his arm is, I think, at the NFL threshold, but it's probably barely right there. I don't think it's a special arm by any means. And then athletically, I think he's not nearly as good as all the other superstar quarterbacks like we see, like the Burrows and the Herberts and all that stuff. So I think that's a tough starting point. And then when you look at guys in the draft who have typically been a little bit less talented than your typical top 10 picks, you're talking about your, you know, Tua Tagovailoa's, your Mac Jones's, your Bryce Young's, players like that. The hit rate for your Kenny Pickett's even, is the hit rate on those type of guys is typically pretty low. Usually when the, you know, quote, lesser talented guys works out, it's third or fourth round picks that have had a couple years on the bench. You know, think of a guy like Kirk Cousins, or you saw this kind of from Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo. Usually that's the path for those guys. And so it's usually not being a top five pick the way that it seems to Sanders might be.
Derek Clausen joining us from the Athletic Football Show, staff writer for the Athletic covering the NFL. I've asked numerous people this, and I keep hoping to get a great answer and an optimistic answer, I guess, for the Browns fans. You're not crazy about Sanders. Is there a guy who's not considered one of the top two guys? And most folks have Sanders as the number two. Dart, Milroe, Shuck. Is there somebody else who you, Derek, think has a higher ceiling and would be a better guy for a team like the Browns to either trade back up into the first round to draft or maybe keep your fingers crossed that he's there at 33 and could be, will be better than Sanders as a pro?
I'd probably be scared to trade up for any of them back in the first round. It would just be a lot of capital. But I do think when you're looking at, you know, pick 33 or around that range, you could kind of sell me on Tyler Shuck. Obviously, being an older prospect is a little bit scary. And I think in some ways limits his ceiling because he's probably just by this point had so many reps and learned enough that the ceiling is probably a little bit limited. But I do think he has a pretty elastic arm. He's a very powerful thrower. I think he's a better athlete right now than Shedeur Sanders is. Not a special one by any means, but certainly enough to scramble around a little bit and be a little bit part of your run game. My issue with Shuck a little bit is sometimes if he gets pressured, he has this tendency to shy away. But just from a talent perspective, I think he clears all of the other guys in this class outside of probably Cam Ward for me.
When you think of what Kevin Stefanski does in an offense, at least how it's been successful in the past, we could pretty much take last year and maybe throw that one out the window. Which quarterback do you think fits that general philosophy that Stefanski wants to play with?
To me, it probably is Tyler Shuck, actually, because, you know, I think when I think of the ideal Stefanski offense, it's we're getting under center. We're trying to run some of our, you know, pulling concepts in the run game, like our power, our counter, some of our duo, and really have this downhill run game. And off of that, we're going to have a play action game that isn't the boot type stuff that you see from Kyle Shanahan, but it's the straight 7-step drop back. We're going to throw these deep posts, these deep corner routes, these deep digs, all that sort of stuff. I do think Shuck is more than talented enough to make those throws. So I would say him, or if that's going to be the style, you could kind of convince me on Dart. I think his processing right now is a little bit further away than Tyler Shuck's is, but you could at least convince me that maybe with a year on the bench or, you know, maybe 8 weeks into the season when he's been able to settle down a little bit, that he could make some of those throws.
Would you worry about sitting him for a year with his age?
Shuck?
Shuck? Definitely. Yeah, it's just, you know, because I brought this up with, you know, the Seahawks. They're looking for a quarterback, and so they could take a guy behind Sam Darnold, but why would they take Shuck if you're going to sit a guy who's 26? So I do think, though, with some of Shuck's, you know, with him just being a talented player, like I said, I think his arm is pretty good. He's a good athlete. He's seen enough reps. I think his processing is, I've kind of compared it to Ryan Tannehill, where if you watched Ryan Tannehill, he was generally doing the right thing. He would just sometimes be a beat late, and sometimes his arm was good enough to make up for it. Sometimes it wasn't. Obviously, when he had A.J. Brown, the margin for error was a little bit, you know, a little bit kinder to him. So I think he could kind of give you that level of play. And so I don't even know if he's the guy you would need to sit right away. I think Dart is more the guy I would want to give a little bit of time.
You like Dart's upside, Derek? Or is it keep your fingers crossed?
I think it's a little bit of keep your fingers crossed. You know, the thing I keep coming back to, and I know this is a little bit simple and maybe unfair, but the next great quarterback from those offenses will be the first one. And so that's kind of my issue with Dart right now, is that from these heavy, the super spread RPO, you know, based offenses where you're not really reading the field a whole lot. You just don't see guys come into the league with the requisite processing ability to make those plays. So I do think Dart is relatively talented. He's a solid athlete. When he just stares down the barrel of the gun and makes like some of those, you know, dig routes, you know, dig throws and stuff like that, he can look talented. But to me, I think his processing is probably 2 years away from being like NFL ready.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Derek Clawson joining us. You can listen to him on The Athletic Football Show 3 times a week on The Athletic Podcast Network on the Northumberland Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, let's bring up the other one that's in there too, Derek, which is Jalen Milroe, who every time I at least watch him, it feels like you've basically been handed this beautiful piece of marble and you're like, carve something out of this. Do you see it with Jalen Milroe that way?
I want to like him so bad. First of all, he just seems like he's so talented, right? Like he's one of the he would instantly walk into the league as one of the top probably five best athletes at the position, which even if, you know, whatever issues he might have as a passer right now is obviously a boon. We've seen Justin Fields hold on to jobs for basically the same reason. The issues with Milroe right now are, I think he can kind of lock onto stuff pre-snap, and then he'll just kind of won't come off of it, and he'll just throw stuff that is covered, and so I think that is one issue for him. And then the other one is, he's a guy who throws 100 miles an hour no matter what. You know, Colin Kaepernick kind of had this issue where he was like a javelin thrower, right? Like that ball was going 100 miles an hour no matter what. He struggled with touch. Sometimes that can help you, right? You know, fit in tight windows. Sometimes you need to put a little bit of finesse on like a corner route, and he just can't do that right now. So those are probably my two biggest issues with him. But he's another guy where I think if you're a team that is committed to putting a guy on the bench, kind of like a Seattle or something like that, or if the Browns want to do this, I would prefer him over Dart. You know, maybe you could say Dart is more accurate right now, but I just feel like the upside for Milroe is so much more tantalizing.
Derek, you mentioned a name earlier. It's a name that keeps coming up here because of his situation and the situation that he used to work with Kevin Stefanski, and that's Kirk Cousins. Last year, he went to Atlanta and then kind of had the rug pulled out from under him when they drafted Michael Penix. That didn't work. Cousins seemed to play pretty well early in the season. And then folks in Atlanta would say that, you know, he got dinged up and his play fell and then he got benched. You've looked at him. Does he still have the ability to play top-notch quarterback in the NFL or as close to top-notch as he's ever played? Is he still that guy, or was he the guy who ended up getting benched?
You know, I think he'll probably not ever be as good as he was in 2023 with the Vikings. I think that was one of his best seasons that he had ever played, and he was really good then. But I think he was better with the Falcons last year than people remember. I think that first game where they ran, like, all pistol offense, no play action, any of that stuff, I think that scared people. And then obviously the very end of his season where he gets hurt again, he just doesn't look like he has it physically. I think that also scared people. But those 8 or 9 weeks in the middle of that, I think he played, I wouldn't say like top eight quarterback, but I think firmly above average. And even if his arm is maybe a tad more limited now, I think he's such a smart player. He's so accurate. I think, you know, he would obviously have familiarity with Stefanski that I think he would be able to give them significantly better quarterback play and significantly more stable quarterback play than they've gotten in a long time. So, and I think the other thing to consider is, I know he's getting older, but also this year he'll be one more year removed from that Achilles injury. So maybe he even looks a little bit healthier this year. So I think with all their options left available, I do think going and making the Kirk Cousins move is probably the Browns' best bet for trying to win games this year.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It's the NFL. You're not allowed to tamper with other players. But I'm sure the Browns have a real good idea if he would approve a trade to Cleveland and under what circumstances. We talked earlier. Dan's going to make a funny.
Oh, I was going to say, if a man eats at a Chipotle in your city, you should know he might be coming.
we threw out some scenarios earlier. I said if the Browns take Ward or Sanders or somebody at two at quarterback, Cousins isn't going to waive his no trade and come here. You know, why would he do that when it's clear they want this guy? Because I think he could still maybe start for a team for another 3 to 5 years, something like that. If you just said it, if they know they could get him to come here in a trade, what would that do for your thinking in the draft?
Yeah, I think if they knew they could get him, I would probably still take a quarterback at some point, right? But instead of feeling like you have to do it at 2 or even at 33, I think you could wait until the 3rd or 4th round and take one of these other guys. Like if they, you know, really like a Riley Leonard or something like that, then I think you can take that sort of dart throw. But I think getting Kirk Cousins, especially when you already have a more competent backup in Kenny Pickett, like you wouldn't really need to draft any guy who's going to play for you this year. So I think it would free them up to really take swings with especially their first round pick. You could go get an elite talent in this draft, whether it's Travis Hunter, whether it's Abdul Carter. You know, you would instantly have one of the best pass rushes in the league. And then it would free up their second round pick to, you know, this team kind of needs another receiver. I think they could probably use depth at a couple of the front seven positions. Like I think them being able to use that pick there instead of on a quarterback that might not even play for them this year would do a lot for their ability to win games this season.
So right now, and again, it's 12:34 PM. on April 2nd. I'm time stamping this so they don't get you aggregated, don't get you in trouble. With the second overall pick, the Cleveland Browns should select?
Man, I would probably have to say I would take Travis Hunter. And I know that this is, you know, it's funny because I think Travis Hunter is mostly a cornerback, or at least I think that's his best position. And for the Browns, that's not necessarily a need right now. They've got three guys that are starting quality level players. But we all know Hunter can also be probably the most explosive receiver in this draft. And to me, I don't see a number one receiver on the Browns depth chart. You know, I think Judy is a solid starter to have. Cedric Tillman, I like the upside, but the sample is sort of limited on what he can be right now. I think getting Hunter in here, if you obviously added Kirk Cousins at quarterback, I think you would both raise the floor and the ceiling of your offense pretty quickly from what the depth chart looks like right now.
You mentioned Kenny Pickett. We're sitting here and thinking, okay, we love what he has said in press conferences. We had him on our show. He was outstanding. He doesn't lack for confidence. I think he has lacked for opportunity since the Pittsburgh thing went bye-bye, and maybe he can get it here. Can Kenny play in the NFL? And at what level can he play?
I don't think he's, you know, I really didn't love him as a prospect. I thought he was more of like a third-round prospect. And so I think what happened in Pittsburgh was kind of par for the course. But I do think he's like a quality backup level type of player. And I also don't think he's any worse than what they had at quarterback last season. Like, I know Kenny Pickett is you know, fun to, you know, kind of poke fun at because of it's kind of just what we do with some of these failed first round quarterbacks. But I think ultimately some of the stuff he showed in Philly last year, he still can be fairly accurate. You know, he's a relatively good athlete who can scramble around a little bit. I do think he's one of those processors where I think he does a lot of guesswork. And so that can lead you to some interceptions, but I think he's a talented enough player and has a decent enough of a handle on pocket presence that in an offense as well constructed as Stefanski's, again, he's not going to give you good quarterback play, but I think he can be even more competent than it was last year if he has to go get out there.
Derek, I also know you keep an eye on linebacker play and like to look at linebackers and all that stuff. Browns are in a really interesting situation here with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. No real idea if he's going to play or not play. Is there anybody in this draft at the linebacker spot that maybe Browns fans should keep an eye on as a safety net or somebody who can maybe complement JOK that you think would fit this team?
Yeah, I think they've got a few options. I think if they want to stick in kind of relatively the same body type and go maybe a little bit deeper in the draft, a guy like Jeffrey Bassa from Oregon, I really love. You know, he's a decent runner in terms of sideline to sideline speed, but to me, he's just a guy who his block take on ability is incredible. He's a really smart player, good tackler. So if they want to go a little bit, you know, quote, cheaper in the draft, I think that could be a good option for them. He's probably your best bet. I like Chris Paul also out of Ole Miss. He's another guy who I don't know if he's an elite athlete necessarily, but if they just want a guy who can be competent while they try to figure out what they want to do with JOK, I think that's another good bet there.
All right, Derek, sum it up for us. We laid out some things early on in the show before you joined us. Three scenarios for the Browns. If they take a quarterback at two, this is what their quarterback room looks like. And it would be Ward or Sanders with Kenny Pickett and then some veteran that they sign. Or scenario number two, where they take a guy in the second round or trade back up into the first, and maybe Cousins is okay with that, and maybe he's not. And or maybe you sign a guy like Carson Wentz, and then you have three guys compete. Or scenario number three, which you actually touched on, where Cousins would come here, it would be good for the Browns, and he'd be with Pickett, and then you draft a developmental guy later in the draft. Which scenario do you think works best for the Browns, both this coming year and long-term?
I much prefer the Kirk Cousins outcome, both for both the short-term and the long-term. I think for the short-term, he is probably going to give you better play than any of the rookies are going to get, or obviously any of the other veterans on the market. And so I think in the short term, he obviously gives you that there. And then in the long term, I know that he's, you know, probably not going to be, you know, an elite quarterback 4 years from now or whatever. He's weird to know who Kirk Cousins is, but I also just don't think any of the other rookies that they would take in the first or second round are necessarily going to be elite quarterbacks either. So I don't think it hurts you in the long term to go get a guy like Kirk Cousins and then maybe take your swing in, like I said, the fourth round on a Quinn Ewers, Riley Leonard, whoever it is that they like. So I would prefer whatever option gets Kirk Cousins in Cleveland.
Derek, it's a fascinating time to be a Browns follower. I can tell you that, and you added to it. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Derek Clawson from The Athletic Football Show. He co-hosts with Robert Mays three times a week. Make sure you listen to that, and you can read all of Derek's work on The Athletic. And, man, he had some great thoughts about the quarterback.